Welcome to Return to Life, weekly inspirational and empowering conversations on a variety of topics regarding everything health, wellness, meditation, and movement, guiding you to discover the peace that resides inside of you and help you live a balanced and blissful life. It's time to return to life. Here's your host, inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach, Pam Butler.
Welcome to Return to Life on Vivid Life Radio. I'm Pam Butler. Our show today is titled, From Ashes to Beauty, with Rhea's Story. Rhea has a profound story to share with us today. Rhea is an author, inspirational speaker, and leadership coach. Her book, Rhea's Story, From Ashes to Beauty, is the unforgettable story, an inspirational memoir of a young woman who was sexually abused by her father and rejected by her mother. Determined not only to survive, but also thrive, Rhea shares how she was able to overcome the odds and find hope and healing to achieve an abundant life. She shares leadership principles that she applied to find professional success and personal significance, and how she was able to find the courage to share her story to give hope to others around the world. Welcome, Rhea. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Pam. I appreciate the opportunity to be a guest on your show.
Oh, it's so nice to connect with you. So let's first talk about those early years, your teenage years, which, you know, as we know, can be challenging for any young girl. You were homeschooled throughout your school years, and you grew up on a farm in rural Alabama. You were a victim of sexual abuse by your father for years, from ages 12 until you left home at 19. So, you know, before you begin to speak on that, Rhea, you know, again, just saying that, you know, I have chills and my heart is just so full for you and what you share and what you hope to teach and help others with. So I just want to honor your space and thank you for sharing, particularly this period of time in your life. So thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Pam. You know, one of the things I like to talk about is that, you know, I found that my story wasn't about me. You know, when I left home at 19, you know, life was tough for a while. I left without a job. I didn't have any money. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a high school diploma because I had been homeschooled my entire life. And so, you know, I started out just trying to take care of myself. You know, what could I do to just shut up everything inside and move on? And I honestly spent the next 13 years of my life trying to forget that the first 19 had ever really happened. And I did a pretty good job. You know, emotionally, I learned that if I could just pretend it didn't happen, I could go on and learn to function in the real world, you know, get a job, go to school, and find success. But when I really started realizing how I could help someone else, and instead of just looking for success in my life, I could find that I could make a difference in the life of someone else. You know, it's again, my story is not about me. It's about what happened afterward.
Right. Chapter. So in those early years, you were homeschooled. Did you have friends? Like, did you have friends that you could talk to or confide in or share with? Did you have any siblings? You know, what was your you know, outlet at that time?
Sure. You know, back then, homeschooling was relatively new and not very well known, especially in, you know, rural Alabama. And, you know, you could function under a homeschool environment under a church school. So, you know, we had a church school, quote unquote. And I did have friends, and we had some other homeschool families and some girls my age, and, you know, I had friends. I just never was very close to them after probably about age 13. You know, we would have friends and do social activities and you know, do things together, but I look back now and I realize that I really started to pull away from even those limited opportunities within myself. Even I look at pictures of myself and my friends from, you know, those early teenage years and later teenage years. And, I had friends and there were opportunities, but I wasn't really close. I really was afraid that, you know, becoming close with someone or opening up a relationship like that would allow someone to find out my secret. And I really just felt such a sense of shame and guilt that I didn't want to talk to anybody.
So, and that's just so, you know, that's so sad. And now as adults, you know, we're able to realize that that communication and not bottling up is so important. But, you know, I feel for you as a young girl, you know, having to kind of hide that story. Were you able to turn to, you know, someone in your church or turn to a family member, or did you just continue to hold this story?
I continued to hold it in until, I mean, when I left home at 19, now he's my husband now at this point, and he was the one person that actually guessed my secret, and he just flat out asked me, he said, is this what's going on? And at that point, I just couldn't say no, you know. He was the first person to ask me and really say, I can support you, it's going to be okay, you know, we'll get help and we'll figure this out, but you don't have to go back to that situation. And honestly, that was the first time that I realized I really had some options and some support. I had tried to run away a few times and with obviously no success because my dad would come get me and I'd go right back to it.
So finding that one person that, you know, could kind of be the one to lift you up and support you and say, hey, it's okay.
Right.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Huge. I think that's important for any a survivor, quote unquote, is just to say, hey, you know, we still love you. That's important for, you know, if you know someone else who's been a victim of even domestic violence, you know, letting that person know that they're still cared for, that they still have a sense of worth. I mean, that was huge for me. And that was huge in helping me recover. I still didn't talk about it beyond a few close family members, again, for many, many years. And I wasn't at that point, but he was aware and really supported me through that, which was huge in my healing.
So the people that you did confide in or that you did try to talk to, did they offer help? Did they believe you? Did they want to try to give you some options to be able to get out of that situation?
I had already left at that point. I mean, I had already moved out by the time I started to talk. Once I'd shared with Mac and my husband now, but, you know, I left home. I didn't go back even that day. And so at that point, I shared with, you know, my grandparents and some close family members and even my mother. And I really, you know, as unexpected as it was to me, maybe I should have expected it, but I really thought that my mother would, of all people, would support me. And when I finally got up the courage to tell her, I really was just crushed that she didn't believe me. She said I made it up. And later she said, okay, I believe you, but, you know, it's kind of, she really placed the blame on me and continued to let me carry that blame and that sense of guilt and say it was really my fault. And in a sense, I just didn't know how to emotionally deal with that. So, at that point, I just said, I don't need that in my life. You know, please don't contact me again. And, you know, looking back, that's not an easy decision, but it was the right one. I think there are times that even those people we love, even though we love them, you know, we're not willing to suffer the consequences of a poor relationship choice.
Right, right. Well, you know, that must have been devastating to not only not have the support of your mother, but, you know, also for her to question what you were saying, question what you were trying to communicate with her. So you had that moment, you left home, and what did you do? Where did you go?
I moved in with, again, he's now my husband, Mac, and we've been together more than 15 years at this point. And there were many people who would have told me that was not a good decision. You know, that's not a good time to make a relationship choice and a life choice. We were engaged, planning a wedding. You know, I was very excited about that. And so that gave me a lot of hope and, you know, a lot of things to focus on for the future. I considered the other options. I could have gone again, like to my grandparents or somewhere like that. But again, I didn't have a job. I didn't have any money. I didn't have a car. So from a financial standpoint, I was not set up to really be able to support myself even. But just having even a little bit of space, and again, Mac's love and support helped me kind of step back and then land on my own two feet. I found a job within just a couple weeks. It started at the very bottom of the rung. I was waiting tables and making $2.13 an hour, and I earned every penny. And, you know, it didn't take long to – go ahead. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Rhea.
I was just going to say it didn't take long to realize that I wanted more out of life. And so I looked around one day and thought, if I'm not going to be picking up pizza crust off the floor the rest of my life, I need to go to school. And so I started night classes. I took a second job, full-time job as well, as waiting tables. And I continued to work two jobs most of the next 10 years while going to school at night until I got finished with my MBA in 2012.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. That's fantastic. So you really were determined not just to survive through that, but thrive through that, determined that you would no longer be a victim. I mean, that, and I think this is the key part because, you know, so many people, everybody, for whatever reason, human nature seems to tend to focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have. And, you know, I talk a lot about in my classes and writing about in my book that sense of gratitude and being grateful for the blessings that we do have, rather than having that conversation, that negative chat of what we don't have. And I know that that's a really important part of what you teach and speak about as well.
Absolutely. You know, we can't choose what happens to us in life. You know, there are people who've gone through so much worse than I have. You know, the mother that's lost a daughter, or the husband that's lost a wife to cancer. You know, we've all experienced pain and difficulty. It's not a question of if, but when life will get hard. But how we respond to it is what makes the defining decisions in our life and the difference, really.
How did you make that shift? You know, it's true. Everything, every decision, every thought, every word that we speak is a choice. How did you make that choice, that conscious choice, to become the survivor?
I think that's
important for the listeners, because so many people, they don't know how to take the steps.
Right. For me, I realized quickly that I could be bitter about what happened to me, and I'm, you know, there will always probably be some pain and a sense of guilt even today. And, you know, I still struggle with that. But very quickly, soon after I left home, in fact, I saw a counselor for about maybe 3 or 4 weeks. I didn't go very long because it wasn't particularly helpful for me at that point. Just I wasn't in a good place to benefit from it. But realizing that, I was like, you know, I can continue to go and talk about my problems and talk about how bad life is, or I can decide to do something and make sure that life going forward is better. So, you know, the first part is a decision. Decide, hey, I want things to be better. I want life to be different, whatever that looks like, however I define it. And then taking the action steps to do that. So for me, being independent was a big part. You know, I wanted to be in a position where I never had to financially depend on someone. You know, so a big part of it for me and my independence was going to school and getting a good job until I felt secure enough that I would never have to be in a dependent situation. So action, the decision is the first step, and then the action steps to implement whatever it is we're deciding.
And so once you got into the counseling, you decided to focus again more on, okay, what's going right in my life rather than what's going wrong. Because I think, from what I hear, a lot of my students that have done the counseling, it is focusing more on the problem rather than what's the solution. And I think, same thing with our health. Doctors just want to give us a pill to fix things, but not really wanting to heal what the actual problem is. So I think, that again, that's a really important part to talk on, for you to be able to move past that victim of what happened to, thriving and now teaching other people. I mean, I it's just incredible. I commend you for that.
Well, I've chosen to look at the blessings that I have. I have wonderful health. I have a husband who loves me and has been an absolute rock in my life, and are, an example for me to look up to in a lot of areas. So, I can focus on what I didn't have. And, all of us maybe have fallen to that from time to time. I know it's not easy. It says easy and does hard, but it's not always easy to do, but it's every single day waking up and deciding, today I can look at things in a positive way, or I can look for the negative things. And, you'll find whatever you look for. You'll find whatever you look for.
So I love this quote by you that I picked up on. My passion is helping other people all over the world realize we can take what life hands us and be bitter about it, or we can choose to be better because of it. Our choices today define us tomorrow.
Absolutely. We make, my goodness, we make hundreds or thousands of choices, every day. And some of them are just little choices, what to eat or whether to watch TV or who to talk to. Or some of them are big choices, what kind of job do we want to do? Where do we want to work? But there are, the significant choices that we make in life, again, is the decision to choose our attitude, to choose to have an attitude of positivity. And that's really going to affect every other decision we make. The choices that we make each day, either consciously or not, will affect the rest of our lives. Eleanor Roosevelt said that I am who I am today because of the choices I made yesterday. But that means that the choices that we make today are going to define who we will be tomorrow. The choices that we eat, if we decide to eat healthy and take care of our bodies, that's going to affect our health tomorrow to a large degree. Our decision to exercise an appropriate amount each week, that's going to affect, again, that can affect our health. Our decisions on who we choose to spend our time with. I think it was John Maxwell that said we become the average of the five people spend the most time with, that we choose to spend time with. So what friends do we have in our lives? Those are choices that we make, and they absolutely have a lot to do with who we will become.
So when did you decide to become inspirational speaker, write the book? How did that path lay out for you?
In 2013, I heard Les Brown speak. I was at a conference, and I heard Les Brown speak, and he said, he was speaking to a room of 200 and something people, and he said, you have a story in you, and someone needs to hear your story, and only you can help that person. And I thought, I have a story. And then I thought, but I don't want to tell my story. And I really spent the next 6 months just wrestling with that. And I felt like I should be speaking and sharing my story, and I didn't want to. And I just didn't want to go there. I didn't want to look back. I didn't want to look back at those years of my life that I'd worked so hard to you know, try to forget and pretend they'd never existed. You know, and I spent 6 months just saying, no, that's not what I want to do. And we had the opportunity to go back to a Les Brown speaker training, and we were given, every person there was given an opportunity to do a 1 minute speech on whatever they wanted. And whatever they chose to speak on, that was fine. It could only just be 60 seconds. There was no rules other than that. And there were going to be five winners that would be chosen to speak on stage with Les Brown. And so we got there that first day for that contest or that speaker training, and they told us the rules for the contest. And I thought, well, here's my opportunity. I could share my little 1 minute story about my personal history and overcoming that. And if I can't do it here, I never will be able to do it. And long story short, I won the contest and was selected to be on stage with him. So I did that last year in
How
LA.
Did that feel for you to get up and share it publicly like that for the first time?
You know, I told someone, I didn't tell anyone I was going to do it. I didn't tell anyone I was going to share that as part of my speech, not even my husband, and he was present. I just knew that if I couldn't do it, I wouldn't have to explain. And, you know, I didn't want to deal with the, you know, I didn't want anyone to feel sorry for me, ironically. But, you know, I told someone after it was over, I got up and I gave my 1 minute speech and I walked off, and it didn't matter at that point if I had won the contest or not, because I had already won that victory inside myself. I told a room full of people, 200 plus people, that I wasn't going to let the past define me. And by speaking and sharing my story, I made it true.
That's awesome. So what's your plan from here? Where does Rhea go from here?
You know, I spend the majority of my time either coaching or doing some motivational speaking. I'm working on a third book that I'm writing now. And, you know, in Rhea's story, Ashes to Beauty, when I finished that, I thought, I'm done writing, maybe forever. But I realized, even just 6 months later, how much more there is to say about how I came through this journey. So my new book is more along the theme of one day at a time, you know, maybe 1 minute at a time, one step at a time. But that healing is a journey. It's not a destination. But how do we travel that journey? So I'm really focusing on some stories from my experiences, good and bad, and in a very transparent way. And then also kind of, again, like you said, some of the actual steps on how do I walk through this journey? How can I do that, you know, if I'm experiencing pain in my life?
Well, that's so admirable of you. And I honor and I appreciate, you know, you sharing in such a real and authentic way. You know, when we're able to share our stories, you know, I think it helps other people to be able to relate in some form or fashion. And as you said, everyone has a story. Everybody goes through some sort of struggle, a loss, a trauma. So, you know, your story, obviously, as profound as it is and as hard as it is, it's so uplifting. It's so inspirational to see where you are now. So thank you so much for joining me today and being open, being authentic and real, and sharing everything that you've done, everything you've been through. Please continue to do what you're doing, because you are changing the world, and I really appreciate that. So thanks, Rhea. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Pam. It's been a privilege to be here this morning. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. So you can learn more about Rhea on her website, www.achieveabundantlife.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at Rhea_story. So thank you for joining me this week. You can also check out my website, returntolife.com. I have some free stuff coming up that I'll be giving away. You can leave comments and messages on my contact page. You can also follow me on Twitter at PamButler111. Thank you for joining me today. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening to Return to Life with Pam Butler. As we all know, stress has become an epidemic in our society, contributing to more diseases in our bodies. Listen each week as Pam shares easy and practical information and tools to connect your mind, body, and spirit and return to a life that is more balanced and blissful than ever before. What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. When we are young, we are taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but we aren't taught what to do when life feels insurmountable. Inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach Pam Butler guides you to heal emotional anxiety, create mental clarity and calmness, relax the mind, center attention, and sharpen concentration. Book a session with Pam today and learn how to reclaim your inner peace by connecting the mind, body, and spirit. Log on to www.returntolife.com. That's www.returntolife.com to book your session and learn to love life again. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.